Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am beginning my sixth week of teaching on how to find and follow God's will. I spent 3.5 weeks talking about how to find God's will. That was a 5-part teaching entitled How to Find God's Will. Now we're talking about how to follow God's will. We're in our 3rd teaching out of 5 on this. And then eventually I'm going to get into how to fulfill God's will. And I tell you, you need to not only find, but then learn how to follow God's will. And then how to fulfill is talking about once you're already on the track moving in the right direction, you have to learn how to stand against all of the things that Satan throws against you and finish your course. Anybody can start a race, but it's finishing the race that is the hard part. And I believe that this trilogy, if you want to call it that, this 3-part teaching, 3 albums combined are going to be a powerful force in helping people to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. I've been using the last few broadcasts, Moses, as an example of a person who knew God's will for his life, and yet he tried to accomplish it in his own strength and power. And because of that, Moses messed everything up. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, which was not ordained by God. And I know that many of you haven't watched every program, and some of the things I'm saying go against conventional wisdom. It goes against the movie, The Ten Commandments. And most people are more influenced by a movie than they are by what the Word has to say. But I've used a lot of scriptures to show that Moses knew what God's will for his life was, but he tried to accomplish it in his own strength, just supposing that God was going to use his position in Egypt to accomplish it. He also tried to do it at the wrong time, 10 years before it was time for the children of Israel to come out of slavery. And because of this, he cost himself 40 years in the wilderness. He cost 30 years extra bondage to the children of Israel. And then I've been using the last couple of days, Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, where Moses finally encountered God after 40 years in the wilderness. God said, "Come, and I'm going to send you down, and you're going to bring deliverance to the Jews." And Moses, his reaction to God shows that he had learned one lesson. And that lesson was that, "God, I can't do it on my own. I've got to have you." 40 years before, Moses got a word from God and made a paragraph out of it. He just took off thinking, "I can accomplish God's will." He was self-willed, arrogant. Man, now he's not arrogant anymore. He says, "God, I can't do it. Who am I? Pharaoh won't listen to me. The people won't listen to me. God says they will listen to you." And Moses turns right around. "No, they won't." And so here's how God brought Moses to this new place. Now, it is true that you have to come to the end of yourself and trusting in yourself before you find God. But you've got to go beyond that. So many people get stuck right there that, "Oh, God, I'm nothing. How could you ever use me?" And even though there's a partial truth in that, that'll destroy you. You'll never be used of God. Moses, we would have never read about Moses if he would have just stayed in this condition. God pulled him beyond that, that even though he was nothing in himself, when he yielded himself to God, he became somebody special. And he went down and took on the mightiest nation on the face of the earth and absolutely defeated him so that they begged him to leave, gave him money for them to leave. God totally turned everything around. He had to come to the end of himself, but then he had to go beyond that. And how did it happen? God gave him a test. Like I said on our program last Friday, he had been in Bush University for 40 years. And he had been learning, "God, I can't do it. I'm going to depend upon you. I'll do whatever you tell me. You give me another chance. I'll follow you." God says, "Let's see." And he says, "Moses, what do you have in your hand?" And he said in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, a rod. It was a stick. It was just a piece of stick that he used to herd his sheep and to do the things that he did. And God said, "Throw it on the ground." He threw it on the ground. And when he did, it turned into a snake, a venomous snake. And Moses fled. He was out of there. He was taken off. And the Lord called unto him and said, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And last Friday, I was making this point that when you pick up a snake by the tail, that means you aren't in control. You are at the mercy of that snake. And basically what this was, how it applies to us is that God is going to bring you to the end of yourself. And how do you find that place? Well, He'll ask you to take your dreams and your visions and your things and your security, and He'll ask you to just lay everything down before Him, to give it up. Like in my life, I encountered the Lord when I was just 18 years old in a miraculous way. And I was in my first year of college. And you know what? Life was good. I was a kid just enjoying everything. And I was going to college. And as long as I stayed in college, I had a student deferment from the draft. It was during the height of the Vietnam War. As long as I stayed in college, I was getting $350 a month from the government. My dad's death, Social Security, was paying me to go to school. I was living at home. Everything was just fine. I was working a job. I had money. Everything was fine. I was doing my own thing. And then I encountered God. And the Lord spoke to me from Romans 12, verse 1, that I needed to become a living sacrifice. He spoke that to me in December of 67. And for 4 months, I just prayed about, God, how do I become a living sacrifice? What is it? And anyway, I've already taught on this. I won't go back through it. But it was basically just making a total commitment, yielding my life to the Lord. And then on March the 23rd, 1968, boy, I had a burning bush experience. God asked me to surrender and to turn my life. He asked me to throw my life like this stick that Moses had. That was his life. It was a symbol of who he was and what he did. And he gave it to the Lord. And, you know, when the Lord asks you to do this, from our human perspective, when we yield control to somebody else, there's always a fear that this is going to kill me. My life will never amount to anything. I don't know why, but there's just this distrust that God, somehow or another, is going to do something good. I was raised to believe that if you made an absolute surrender to God, God was going to send you to the darkest, deepest corner of Africa and make you live in a grass hut. And you know what? There wouldn't be anything wrong with that. If God called you to do that, He'd put a love in your heart for Africa. I know people that live in Africa, and they love it. They're going to live and die there, is what they say. But I'm saying that I was brought up that God is going to just make you do something terrible. That is not the way that God is. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some translations say a future and a hope. In other words, you don't have to wonder about what's my life going to turn out to be. When you are serving God, and if you're truly yielded to Him and walking with Him, it'll be an expected end. It's going to wind up in a blaze of glory. You're going to be like the Apostle Paul and say, I've run the race and I've finished my course. You won't have to wonder about what's going to happen. Man, God has good plans for you, thoughts of peace. But there's just this fear that if I turn my life over, if I give up all of my dreams and my hopes and my ambitions, I'll never amount to anything. I faced that. And you know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, I was working in the school system, and it wasn't a high-paying job or anything, but God gave me favor with the person that was supervisor over me. And he actually offered me a job with guaranteed retirement. Here, an 18-year-old boy being offered a job that would be a guaranteed income, retirement, and benefits. And you know what? It looked good. And yet God told me to just give up everything and turn my life over to Him. And when I did, it looked like it was going to kill me. One of the first things He instructed me to do is to quit school. I lost my student deferment. I got drafted and sent to Vietnam. Could have killed me. I lost my job. I lost everything. It looked like that it was just the pits. In a sense, that's what was happening to Moses. He says, lay it down. He threw it down. It turned into a snake. And God said, pick it up by the tail. In other words, don't you be in control. You let me control your life from now on. And praise God, Moses went from fear into faith. He did what? He trusted God. He picked up the serpent by the tail, even though it could have killed him, and it turned back into a rod. Did you know if there would have been some scientists there, and if they hadn't have seen this burning bush, if they hadn't have heard the discussion between God and Moses, and if they would have taken a sample of that rod before he threw it down you know, taking a little sliver of it. And then after he threw it down and picked it up by the tail and it turned back into a rod, if they would have taken another sample and if they would have compared those two, I believe that it would have been identical. Most people would have said it was the same type of wood. It was out of the same tree. They would have looked at it. And if you analyze this in just the natural, all it was a stick, a rod. But you know what? Something had happened. He had laid this down before God. It was no longer his. He had taken it up by the tail. God was now in control of his life. And you know what? Something had happened. And it was symbolized in that rod. Look at this in Exodus chapter 4. This is after the Lord finally convinced Moses to go down to Egypt and that he would be with him. And in Exodus chapter 4 in verse 20, it says, "And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand." Man, that is awesome. You know, in verse 2, God says, "What's that in your hand?" He says, "A stick." It's just a stick. That stick didn't have any more power than Moses had. If Moses would have hit a rock with that stick, all it would have done is broken the stick, or it would have jarred him. But it didn't have any power. But after he laid it down and turned it over to God and then picked it up by the tail, to other people it looked like just a stick. But you know what? It was no longer Moses' stick. It was God's stick. It was the rod of God. And now he could hold that rod out over the water and the entire Nile River turned into blood. He held it over the land and lice came up out of the dirt. He held it over the rivers and frogs came up and went into all of the houses. He held it up to the sky and hail fell out of a clear sky and fire ran along the ground on top of the hail. He held it up to the sky and for 3 days there was no sun, no sun, pitch dark. And yet in the houses of the Israelites, there was light. Not just artificial light, a candle, daylight inside the houses, and it pitch dark outside. He held it up and all of the cattle of the Egyptians died. And then right in the fence, you know, the fence separating the Egyptians from the Israelites' cattle, all of the Israelites' cattle lived. He held it out and the death angel came through and killed all the firstborn of Egypt, but not a single firstborn in the land of Israel died. Because you know what? It wasn't his stick anymore. It was God's. And this is the way it is. When you turn your life over to God, to other people will look at you and think, well, there's nothing different about you. You're just Joe Blow or Jane Doe or whoever, and they'll look at you and they'll evaluate you only on the natural. But people don't understand what's happened between you and God. You know, in the natural, I'm not impressive. If I was God, I wouldn't have chosen me. I mean, you know what? I'm not polished and I don't speak well. I got a hick accent. I have people write in and say, "I thought you were Gomer Pyle." And you know what? If I was God, I wouldn't have chosen me. But see, you can only see my outside. You don't know what's happened between me and the Lord. And the Lord asked me to throw my life down and to turn it over to Him. And you know what? I've obeyed. And in the natural, there's a lot of people that just think, well, that'll come to nothing. And it is my life. I have it. I'm the one making decisions, but it's really not me anymore. It's God that's controlling me, and God's inspiring me and leading me. And I'm seeing things happen that couldn't have happened before. I saw my son dying dead for 5 hours, and yet, praise God, because I had thrown my life down and have served God. You know what? I was able to speak, and my son came back from the dead after being dead for 5 hours in a cooler, stripped naked with a toe tag on, came back to life, and doesn't have any brain damage any more than he had before, praise God. And I've got a granddaughter that's now 8 years old that was born a year after that. You know what? There's supernatural things happening. And some people only evaluate me based on what I look like and different things. There's people that tell me all the time that they watched this program and they were just flipping through the dials. And for years, they passed my program up because I'm not screaming. I'm not shouting. I don't act excited. I'm just sitting. And they think, you can't be anointed. There's no way that God can use you. And then something happens and they, for whatever reason, listen and all of a sudden begin to get touched by God and their life has been changed. You know what? It's not just what you are like in the natural. It's not just like what's natural about you. When you turn your life, it's like that little boy that only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples themselves said, "What is this among so many?" It's nothing. None of us in ourselves are adequate. None of us are sufficient for God to use. But when you give what you've got to God, God can take it and multiply it. And there were over 5,000 men. That's not including all the women and children fed by these 5 little loaves and 2 small fish. Because they gave it to God. God can take somebody that has nothing in the natural and you turn your life over to Him and all of a sudden it's not your life anymore, it's God living through you. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You can become God-possessed. You can have supernatural power flow through you. And see, Moses, if he would have hit a rock prior to this experience with that rod, nothing would have happened. But afterwards, he hit a rock with the rod of God, and waters gushed out and fed over 3 million Jews, plus all of their cattle, their sheep, all of their animals. It was miraculous. Supernatural things happen. And I'm telling you that you've got to come to a place where you recognize that in yourself you are nothing and that you can do nothing by yourself. But then you've got to, once you turn that corner and you lay your life down and say, "God, here it is, such as it is, I give you my life." And you turn your life over to the Lord. When you do that, God will give it back to you. Other people will think it's your life. You're the one that's making these decisions. But the truth is, it's got God's power, God's anointing on your life. And you can do things that are humanly impossible. You can have a peace in the midst of tragedy and in the midst of turmoil that the world doesn't understand. You can be healed when the doctor says you're going to die. You can prosper when there's, you know, a recession on and everybody else says you can't do it. You can do it. My wife and I, since the recession hit and the stock market went down 50% about the first 6 months, we made 61% profit in the stock market when it went down 50%. Some people say you can't do that. You can if you've turned your life over to God and if you're allowing God to lead you, if you're following God's will. You can prosper when everybody else isn't prospering. You can be happy and joyful. You can have marriages that look like there's just no hope for it. You turn your life over to God, and God can restore your marriage. God can restore your health. He can restore your wealth. He can restore your vision. God can make things work. But you, like Moses, have to come to the end of yourself. You have to lay that life down and then take it up by the tail. That means you aren't in control. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love, but the number one problem that Christians have isn't the devil. It's yourself. That self is like a landing zone, a beachhead for the devil. And as long as you are making your own decisions and following your own wisdom, there are just so many scriptures that talk about there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And on, that same principle is repeated over and over in Scripture. You know, you don't have to look very far. Most of you don't have to look very further than your own self and your own experiences to realize that when you do things your way, you tend to mess it up. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps." God didn't create you to be self-controlled. He gave you the privilege of it. It's your choice. He will allow you to run your own life. He's not going to force you, but I'm telling you, it's the wrong choice for you to run your own life. You aren't sharp enough to run your own life. God made man to be dependent upon Him, to have a relationship, and it's only when we are coupled with God and under His control and guidance that our lives can turn out well. And again, most people have already started experiencing the problems of doing things your own way. Some people haven't experienced this yet, but I can guarantee you, when I started in ministry, I used to go to nursing homes and I ministered to people who were the movers and the shakers. In their day, they were the rich, they were the powerful, and all of these things. And yet, in old age, here they were sitting there crying all day long. They'd been put out to pasture. Their own kids, their own family wouldn't come visit them. And I just saw that, you know, if the Lord tarries, and if you live long enough, every one of you is going to come to the end of yourself. And you know, you need to do it now intentionally by choice rather than letting life just beat you into a position of submission. If you choose it, if you do it willfully, if you lay your life down before God and pick it up by the tail and let God control you, then your life will be good and God will bless you in supernatural things. You'll look back at your life and you'll be thanking God for the good things that have happened. If you do it your way, you and Frank Sinatra doing it your way, I did it my way, I guarantee you, you are going to be winding up on a junk heap sometime. Probably in this life, if not in this life, when you stand before God and see what His plan for you were, and you realize that you did your own thing and went after money or fame or whatever it is, man, you're going to be repenting in sackcloth and ashes. I'm telling you, doing it your way is not the way to do it. God brought Moses to the end of himself, and when he threw his life down and took it up by the tail is when his life really began. We'd have never heard of Moses if he had just leaned unto his own understanding. And even if he would have come to the place to where he no longer was arrogant and self-willed, if he had just said, God, I can't do it, I can't do it. And if he hadn't have obeyed God and have taken a step and have followed through, we never would have heard of Moses. He never would have recovered. He would have been a guy who had all this potential, but he'd have taken it to the grave with him. And sad to say, that's where probably the most potential on the face of the earth exists today, is in a graveyard, because most people did not realize their potential. They took it with them to the grave. I'm telling you, this is a word from God for you, that God is wanting you to lay your life down, to make an absolute, total commitment. Pick your life back up by the tail. You no longer in control. And when you do that, it'll no longer be your life, but it'll be Christ's life. He'll be living through you. And I guarantee you, it's exciting living for God. If you aren't absolutely thrilled, if you don't wake up in the morning just saying, thank you, Jesus, for another day to live, and I'm excited about what you're going to do today, then God's not in control of your life. When God gets in control of your life, I guarantee you it's going to be exciting. It's more exciting than the roller coaster or anything in the natural. I guarantee you go to serving God, it'll never be boring. It'll be exciting. And God's got a good plan for every one of you, but you have to pursue it. I've got some other great things to say about this, a really tremendous point. I'd love to have made it on today's program, but I didn't have enough time. I'm going to have to do it again tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen into our program again tomorrow, and also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this teaching on Moses entitled The Rod of God. You need this. It'll help you. So listen and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Follow God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Rod of God, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles, and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net. In 1996, students from Caris Bible College began providing sandwiches to the homeless in parks and under bridges in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Soon, they opened a food pantry in one room of the already overcrowded Bible College. Little did they know that these small steps would one day lead to an organization with an annual budget of more than $2.5 million. As the Springs Rescue Mission celebrates its 14th year of building hope and saving lives, more than 1,450,000 meals have been provided to the hungry and homeless, opening a doorway to hope for a better life through recovery programs, emergency services, counseling, and job training.
Compassionate people hearing the message that Andrew was preaching about the love of God and then taking that and doing something with it.
For more on this story, visit our website and click on today's news feature.